This message comes from NPR sponsor Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Today on State of the World, understanding the worsening violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Greg Dixon. More than 1 million people have been forced to flee their homes in the Democratic Republic of Congo in the last 2 years due to worsening violence. It's a volatile conflict that threatens to spread beyond the DRC. NPR's Juana Summers traveled to neighboring Rwanda and went to a district that borders the DRC. It's an area that sees a lot of refugees fleeing the violence next door. There are a number of factors fueling the conflict in the DRC, including the country's vast mineral wealth. And, as Juana tells us, it's also tied to the Rwandan genocide 30 years ago.
The Congolese army is fighting M23. That's a rebel group that the U.S. and U.N. say is backed by Rwanda. The Rwandan government, though, denies this. Aid groups, including the U.N. Refugee Agency, warn of a severe humanitarian crisis. And U.S. officials say the conflict has the potential to spill over into a fully-fledged regional war. About a half-hour's drive from the Rwandan border with the DRC, we visit a refugee camp where thousands are seeking shelter and safety.
Many of the people, the houses back in the DRC were burnt, were destroyed. Even if it ends today, they have nowhere to go back. Anyway, if they go back, they have to start from zero.
That's David Runyonga, the manager at Kamira Transit Center. The first thing I notice as we drive through the gates is that there are children everywhere. Runyonga tells us that of the more than 6,000 people currently living here, roughly two-thirds are children.
They came in alone, either separated or unaccompanied children. They separated with their parents back in DRC. They don't know where they are. They don't know whether they are alive or not. Sometimes, by chance, parents come later. They get unified.
Children attend school here, and more than 200 crowd onto cloth floor mats inside a big temporary building. The goal is for people to live at this camp temporarily before being relocated to other refugee camps across the country. But Runyonga says some people now must stay longer because camps are full and there's just nowhere else for them to go. In the kitchen, workers are figuring out how to feed thousands of people. Outside, there are dozens of brightly colored plastic buckets full of warm rice.
So we've just walked into the kitchen here at the transit center, and I can actually feel the heat coming off of the burners as a number of men are preparing rice and beans.
For a sense of scale, one pot holds 330 pounds of beans. Walking along the shelter where the most recent arrivals are housed, we meet 27-year-old Sylvie Migabo. She says, "My husband was killed in the fighting, so I went to the Congolese city of Goma. I wanted to stay, but I was told that it would be safer for me in Rwanda because of my family's ethnic ties." As we talk, three of her young children peer out from behind her. She's carrying an infant on her back. She says, "It's much better here than where I was. At least it's peaceful. I'm not afraid that someone can come and kill me." At the same building, we meet another woman. Her name is Yvette Kamariza, and she and her six children fled the DRC on foot. I asked her when she knew it was time to leave, and she says it was when soldiers came to her home and they took her cows. She says, "When they took the cows, I thought, it's over, because the next time, it won't be the cows. I thought they would come for me and my children." As we talk, it's raining, and Yvette is wrapping herself in a purple and yellow plaid blanket. "I'm happy now that I'm here," she says. "I slept well last night, and I was given food and a blanket and a mat to sleep on. and I no longer hear the sounds of bullets and gunshots. Now, she says, she feels like her life and her children's lives can continue. David Ranyunga, the camp manager who's been showing us around, tells us that every time new refugees arrive, workers do everything in their power to help care for them. What they can't do, though, he says, is change what's happening across the border in the DRC. And if that doesn't change, he says, people will continue to flee.
This will require a collective responsibility, especially the international community. If they leave it to DRC alone, or Rwanda alone, I don't expect much to be done.
Ranyunga says there needs to be an international response, but he is not expecting much, because refugees have been crossing into Rwanda for 3 decades, and many of them are still here.
It's NPR's Juana Summers reporting from Rwanda. That's the State of the World from NPR. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.
When voters talk during an election season, we listen. We ask questions, we follow up, and we bring you along to hear what we learned. Get closer to the issues, the people, and your vote at the NPR Elections Hub. Visit npr.org/elections.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR.